Name. Amen. It's a family Sunday, so I know there's no Sunday school, so we got a lot of kids here. And if there are any kids that want to come up here and sit in the front row, kind of over in this corner, then you're welcome to come up to the front. I'm going to kind of sit down here, and I'm going to mainly be talking to the kids. But I think if the adults listen in, then the adults might learn something too. So kids, if you want to come down here, I got some, well, young people here, not kids. I've got some here now, and I got some over here. But if anybody wants to come up, you can come sit in the front row. This is the prime seat, exactly. I get to talk right to you. We get to have a really uncomfortable... Did I get it? Is it coming up now? Has it started? There it is. This is what the kids would call awkward. We're going to have an awkward conversation right here because I get to look right at you and you're going to listen attentively. Do you guys, all you kids over here, why don't you come over sit on this side? You see those four chairs over there? Yeah, why don't you guys sit over there? That way you can look at me and I can look at you. So while you guys have been in Sunday school for the last few weeks, sit wherever there. While you guys have been in Sunday school for the last few weeks, I don't know what you've been doing, but up here, all of the adults have been doing a series on the titles and the names of Jesus. It's called Jesus Is. And a name or a title tells us a little bit about who a person is, and that's the way the titles and names of Jesus work. They tell us who that person is. So if I say somebody is a head coach, you know because they're the head coach a little bit about who they are and whether you should listen to them or not. Or if you say somebody is a chef, then you know something about who they are. If they're the president or if they're the manager. So titles and names are important to tell us a little bit about who people are. Well, today, Jesus is going to say that he is the good shepherd. And so what we want to look at is why does Jesus say he's the good shepherd and what do we learn about Jesus because he calls himself the good shepherd? Now, do you know what shepherds do? Anybody? What do shepherds do? Yeah. They protect the sheep. They protect the sheep. Sheep herds, shepherds, they're sheep herders. So when you see sheep out there, there's a shepherd that protects them and guides them and leads them. Exactly. So stick that in your mind. We're talking about shepherds and we're talking about sheep, okay? You got to remember that. Now, the interesting thing is the Old Testament talks about shepherds quite a bit. So did you know that Moses was a shepherd before he led the people out of Egypt through the desert to the Promised Land? So Moses was a shepherd. You know who else was a shepherd? King David was a shepherd. So before he was the king leading his people, David was a shepherd. And in the Old Testament, God calls himself a shepherd over 100 times. So in the Old Testament, there are people who are shepherds and they're important, and God calls himself a shepherd. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, he's going to be teaching us something about himself as the shepherd, and he's going to be teaching something about us as the sheep. And so my words are not all that important, but the words of God are really important. So this morning, I want you to listen to my words, but what I really want you to do is listen when we read the word of God, okay? So we're going to listen to Jesus' lesson as to why he was the good shepherd. These are the words you want to listen to. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he was brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now they understood that he was talking about shepherds and sheep. That part they understood. It's not like, oh, I don't understand what you're talking about, Jesus. No, they really understood shepherds and sheep. And Jesus uses shepherds and sheep because they did understand it, and he wanted to teach them something that they wouldn't understand by using something that they did understand. Now, here's a picture of a sheep pen that's just like they would have used in Israel 2,000 years ago, and you can see that it's actually still in use today. That's a modern picture. And you can see that it's a high rock wall, and the sheep are in there, and there's a gate on the far side where the gate would be, and the sheep come and go. And what you need to know is that the way the shepherding worked in Israel is that in a village, all the sheep would get put in the same pen. So the shepherds would come in from the field with their sheep, and they would all get mixed in together in the same pen overnight where they were guarded and kept safe. And then the shepherd would come in the morning, and he would just start talking to his sheep, and when he walked away, only his sheep went with him. And when the other shepherds came and they talked, the sheep would follow them. Now, they knew their voice because they had spent day after day after day after day with that shepherd, and so they knew that shepherd's voice. So it's just like your dog at home, or, you know, not your cat. Cats ignore everybody. But just like your dog at home, your dog knows the sound of your voice. And so when you say to come, then your dog comes. But if a stranger says come, your dog is like, yeah, whatever. And that's how sheep are. When their shepherd talked to them, they would come out of the pen. So Jesus needs to explain what he means by his voice and what he means by the sheep and the shepherd and the gate and all of that. And so the people understood what he was talking about, but they didn't know what they meant about him and about them. So he goes on and he wants to tell them. So he says, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. Did I just already do this? But the sheep did not listen to them. Oh, yeah, that's right. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So the first thing that Jesus says is that I'm the door. I'm the entry into the sheep pen. And so what he means and what everybody understood is that I am the way into safety. The pen is the safe place. So Jesus is the way into safety. And nobody is safe except through me. And then he says it goes the other way too. You can actually, the sheep exit through the gate to get to green pastures, to find the food that they need, and to find the water that they need. So he says you come through me to find safety, and you come out with me in order to find satisfaction and to find sustenance. So he says, be careful to the listeners. There's only one way for sheep to be safe and one way for sheep to be satisfied. They must use the gate, and the gate is Jesus. Okay, so that was Jesus' kind of warm-up lesson, okay? He was just getting them started with this simple idea of the gate, and Jesus is the way into safety and out to green pastures. Now he gets to the heart of the lesson, so that people have to put their thinking caps on. This is what he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So now there's a comparison here that Jesus makes. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm not a hired hand. See, he says, I'm a good shepherd, not a hired hand. And the comparison is important to Jesus. I mean, we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, and we often forget about the hired hand. But the hired hand is actually an important part of this lesson, because he says, you have to compare me to somebody who's just an employee. Somebody who's just hired to do something. Now, the story is really about who should you trust or who should you believe? Who should you have faith in? And Jesus is saying this is really a story about whether you trust the good shepherd or whether you trust the hired hand. And he's teaching about us and himself. And as we're growing up, as you get older in the world around us, the world is going to offer all kinds of different options for you. The world is going to give you different voices that you can listen to. And Jesus says, those are like the hired hands. You maybe might be tempted to follow the hired hand and listen to that voice, but when trouble comes, they're nowhere to be found. The wolf comes, the bear comes, the lion comes, the hired hand is gone. You're in trouble, and where is that voice that you are listening to? It's not a trustworthy voice. And so some people follow money, and think that money's going to take care of them when they're in trouble. Some people follow their career and they think that their satisfaction in their job or their prestige as an important person at work is going to protect them. Or they go after sports or fame or something else and they think that thing is going to protect me when the wolf comes. But then what happens is the wolf comes in their life and all of a sudden their job and their money and their fame does not matter. And it is gone and they're left without protection because they didn't follow the good shepherd. Now, it's not wrong to work. It's not wrong to provide for yourself. It's good to do well in a sport. But what Jesus is saying is when you're going through life, don't trust in those things because they will ultimately fail. They're not the true protection and the true joy that he wants for you. In fact, there's one thing he says about himself that he repeats more than anything else in this story, and it is that he lays down his life for the sheep. Nobody else is going to lay down their life. Your money's not going to lay down its life for you. Your job's not going to lay down its life for you. Your boss isn't going to go to bat to you the way Jesus is. Jesus says he lays down his life for his sheep. That's how much he cares, and that's how much you can trust in him. So let's see a little bit more of Jesus' lesson, because there's more. So he says, there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus does it willingly. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So Jesus teaches that there's one way into the safety of the pen, one way out to green pastures, one trustworthy shepherd that you can put your hope in, who will not abandon you when the wolves and the bears and the lions come. And Jesus says he's done all of this, laid down his life for us, and we know about that, of him laying down his life on the cross to protect us from the greatest danger in our life, which is to be separated from God. And Jesus has done this so we can be forever close to God. But I want you to note that in this story, why am I going the wrong way? There we go. In this story, after he says this, it says there was a division among the Jews because of these words. So Jesus is doing this teaching, and the people are starting to get angry. Now, what are they getting angry about? All that Jesus has said is that I'm the good shepherd, and I lead you into safety, and I lead you into green pastures, and I'm there for you, and I will never abandon you. Does that sound like the kind of teaching that you would get angry at? Doesn't sound like it, does it? It's like, that's all good stuff. All of Jesus' teaching was really good stuff, but people are getting angry. Well, what changed in his teaching here that they started to get angry about? Let's just think about that. The thing that changed here is that he said, God is my Father. They were okay as long as Jesus was just teaching nice things. And then they could kind of listen to him or not listen to him. It's like, oh, Jesus, you got some good advice. I like the things that you teach. You're a good man. But here Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I have authority, and it comes from my Father. And now people are getting angry. They're getting angry because they don't like the idea that Jesus has the authority of God over their life. And you know what? If we're honest, that's how all of us react too. You think about it in your own heart. Maybe you have been running around the church, or you've been playing in Sunday school with a toy or something, and you've been, you know, acting up a little bit. And one of the adults in the church or one of your Sunday school teachers says, hey, you know, you should share that toy or stop running around. And in your heart, you kind of think, I don't really have to listen. I mean, it's not my dad or my mom. So, I mean, I heard an adult say it. I should do it, but I don't actually have to listen. And then like a second later, you hear another voice, right? And I'm sure Benton heard this voice all the time. Benton Brown. I wish I knew his full name, because you get the full name, right, when your parents talk and that you're in trouble, right? And when you hear that voice, you recognize it. That's mom's voice. That's dad's voice. And you know that has the authority to tell you what to do and what to not do. And let's be honest, in our hearts, when we hear that voice that has authority over us, often our first response is anger. I don't want to stop running. I don't want to share the toy. I don't want that. And so when a voice with authority speaks into our hearts, we get a little bit angry because we don't want people telling us what to do. We want to tell ourselves what to do. We just want to listen to our own voice. And I'll tell you a little secret. My heart's like that. Your parents' hearts like that. You look around this room, all these adults, our hearts are like that. And people, when they read the Bible and they hear the voice of Jesus, sometimes that's the first response in their heart. I like Jesus when he's teaching nice stories, but when he tries to say he has the authority of God in my life, I don't want anything to do with it. And they get angry. So that's why they're upset at Jesus. They're upset because of that. Now, I can't imagine actually looking at you here that any of you are selfish or stubborn or headstrong. I imagine that when your parents tell you something to do, you know, like do your homework or, you know, eat your vegetables, you're always like, oh, yes, Mom and Dad, I love doing my homework and eating my vegetables because I know that you only have my best interest in mind. And I will gladly share all my toys with my brothers and sisters because that is the most joyful thing I can do. Is that how you always answer? No. Because you have the same heart as these guys who are listening to Jesus. Your heart doesn't like it when authority speaks to you. And we have to understand that Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Yes, I have the authority of the Father, but I am the place of safety. I am the green pastures that I want to lead you into green pastures where you can be fed and you can play and you can enjoy. And I will lay down my life for you. So listen to my voice. You can trust it. But all of us have to get over that little hurdle of saying, oh, I don't want to, but it's so good for me if I do. So in your life, when you hear the words of Jesus in Sunday school or your parents or in the Bible, you listen to the words of Jesus because you can trust them. He will never let you down. He says, you can trust me. And this is how he finishes. This is how we know this is what he meant, because he finishes his lesson this way. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So you see, this is why Jesus says, this is about trusting me. This whole lesson is about trust. If you listen to my voice, if you follow me, if you're in my hand, nobody can get you out of my hand. And then he says, if you're in my hand, you're also in the Father's hand. You're in the hand of Jesus and you're in the hand of the Father. It's the same hand. Can you imagine something being held in the hand of God and being able to get it out? Do you think you could do it? Let's try a little experiment. I have these earbuds in my hand. Who's strong? You strong? Okay, you come up here. See if you can get these earbuds out of my hand. I've got them. You try and get them out. You just go at it, man. Pull it. Oh, put some muscle into it. Try harder. Try and pry my finger a little bit. Yeah, no, you're not budging it. That's a good... Yeah, you're going red in the face there a little bit. Good try, buddy. That was awesome. How about you? Come on up here. You're strong. Come on. He's skeptical now. He's doing a good job. It's pitiful, man. It's pitiful. Go sit down. We don't want to prolong the agony. So I'm just a pastor holding on to some earbuds. Can you imagine being in Jesus' hand? Can you imagine being in God's hand? He's got you, right? And he says, you're in Jesus' hand. You're in the Father's hand. He's got you. And he says, I and the Father are one. We're the same. Jesus is God, and you are in his hands. And that's why the people are getting angry, because they're saying, Jesus is God. In fact, at the end of the lesson here, it says they actually pick up rocks to throw at Jesus. Do you think they're throwing rocks at Jesus because he said he was a good shepherd? Do you think they want to throw rocks at Jesus because he said that he's the way to safety and he's the way to green pastures and he cares for them and he wants to love them and he wants to take care of them? No. The only reason they're getting angry is because Jesus says, I'm God and I have the authority of God in your life. And that's what's got them upset. And that same thing happens in our heart and happens in our life. We run into a situation where we just don't want to listen, but Jesus says you should listen because you can trust me. I only have what's safe and good for you. Yeah, you have a question? On the nose. Exactly. If you walk with Jesus day after day, like those sheep walked with the shepherds day after day, after a while, you just know his voice. Yeah, he's perfect, and you know that perfect voice. And so then when you hear the voice of a friend at school, or you hear the voice of some other, what we call a temptation, it's like, oh, you know, you want to look at this, or you want to do this, or you want to go after that. In your mind, if you've walked with Jesus and you know his voice, you say, I don't want to listen to that voice. I'm not going to listen to that voice, because that voice is going to run away. It's going to fail me in the end. But Jesus' voice will never fail you. So Jesus wants what's good for you because he is the good shepherd. He'll care for you. He'll protect you. He'll lead you in good paths in your life. Not every path in life will be safe and easy. It doesn't mean that every month and every week and every year of your life will be a good year and a good month and be full of joy all the time. But it means that even though you walk through dangerous paths, Jesus will be with you. That's what it means to follow him. So you want to choose to follow the good shepherd, even though your heart might resist a little bit. That's normal. And if you want to know how to follow the voice of Jesus, you can look around the room. You can ask your parents. You can ask any of these adults here. They have followed the voice of Jesus, and they will tell you how you can follow the voice of Jesus by reading the Bible, by listening to what he's taught you, by praying, listening to the voice of Jesus. And you will see the good shepherd. And he'll lead you out into green pastures. So to finish up, let's close with a poem that King David actually wrote about following the voice of God. And how the good shepherd is always with us, even if the paths of our life aren't the best paths, even if they're dark, the good shepherd is always with us. And I know you know this poem, and I know everybody else does too. So all the parents are going to say it along with me. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, not all of our paths will be happy paths, but the good shepherd will never leave you, never forsake you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've been teaching us about who you are and your son is through the titles that you've given him. We've talked about him as the Word of God, the cornerstone, the bread of life, and now the Good Shepherd. And he uses these simple teachings to teach us things that are very, very important to us. It's not about shepherds and sheep. It's about our relationship with you and that you have given us Jesus. He's not a hired hand. He's not a substitute teacher. He's not a substitute for God. He is God. He is the good shepherd. And so we know that we can trust him, that you have laid down your life for us, and that in that we have absolute confidence that you are safety and you are satisfaction and you are our joy, and we can trust in your voice in our life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you guys for being such awesome listeners.